It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'd like for everybody to just take a minute and bow your heads and ask the Lord to open your understanding and take a minute and give Him all your cares right now, everything that's on your mind. And let's allow the Spirit to minister. So let's do that for a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to You. We ask You to make us transparent this morning. We ask You to send by the Holy Spirit words to speak to Your children, that they may rise, Father, and they may walk as You have designed and as You have set us to do. We're thankful for Your Holy Spirit. Thankful that we can just feel His presence. We ask You to send it in, Lord. Send it with power and anointing on the ears of Your children, that Your words may accomplish that which You have sent them out to do. For this we ask in Jesus' name, that You may be glorified, God. Amen. Turn with me to Joshua. What? It's a lot of heavy burdens about my neck. But we'll go there in a minute. Joshua chapter 1, please. When you get there, please stand for the reading of the word. Joshua chapter 1. And let us pick up at verse number 3. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua and also to us. He says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And there shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." We know also that in John he said, "Behold, I wish above all things that you be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers." He says also, in as he's speaking, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Verse number 5 again. "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Jesus also said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of this world." Number 6 says, "Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous," second time he says this, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The thought that the Lord had given me for this message is, there's a Jericho before your Jerusalem. Now, Joshua was allowed to do something that most of the children of Israel never got to do. He was allowed to look into, go into, and experience the promised land. But he had to do something before he could go there. He had to sit under the teachings and under the instructions of Moses. He had to follow for a little while, but then generally, as the scripture tells us, it came to pass that Moses had went on to be with the Lord and Joshua was left with something to do. It would have been very comfortable and very easy for him to stay on that side of the Jordan and never enter into the promised land, but just sit there and look and say, "Someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Someday I'll have this. Someday everything will be okay in my life. Just someday. But if I have to go over there," the reason that Joshua and Caleb got to go over there is because they understood one thing. They understood God said I could have it, that settles it, and I can obtain it. But everybody else says, oh, but if we go over there, there's a battle over there. Oh, if we go that way, if we start to believe that, there's a battle going to come. So it's better for us just to stay over here because God has brought us out to this place to do nothing but to destroy us. Wouldn't we have been much better back in Egypt under the whips and the chains, working day and night, and our children and our wives and our husbands being in bondage? It would have been a much better thing for us to be over there being beat day and night and not getting nothing for our labor. But it would have been much better for us there. How can we begin to think that it's much better in bondage than it is to fight the battle to be free? We will get ourselves in such shape and be so comfortable with who we think we are. Because if Christians abundantly know, brother, we need to change. We know what changes we need to make. We know what needs to take place. But when it comes time for those changes, that puts us in unfamiliar territory and we don't want to have to deal with that. Because if I change, then I've got to deal with the problems that I've pushed off for so long. So even though I know I need to change, I will tell you I'm going to change. But in fact, I know I'm not. Because over here, I'm comfortable. In pictures of Egypt, I'm comfortable. It's miserable over here. And as we said last week, there's a lot of things I want to say and I want to do. But I'm comfortable back over here. Because if I go over there, I've got to step out of my character. I've got to step out of who I am and what I am and what my facade is. And I might have to leave some of that character that I've built and deal with what I've been pushing away. Because I don't know where we've got the idea that if we don't deal with something, it'll just go away. Folks, that don't happen. That don't happen in reality, and that don't happen in life and in spirituality. You get let your grass grow. Say, I'm just not going to cut it. It'll go away. It don't go away. You got to deal with it sooner or later. You let an infection go. Get a cut and say, well, I'm just not going to deal with it. It's too painful to deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. And it'll just go, I'll put a Band-Aid over it. I'll roll my sleeve down, and nobody will know it's there. While it's slowly eat you away until you get so sick you can't hide it anymore, and it takes a lot more and a lot more expense to get you to recover than if you would have dealt with it in the beginning. So if we know we need to make the change, I'm asking you today, let's make the change. Yeah, Jerusalem is our city of peace. There is a place of rest for God's people, not just over in the blue yonder somewhere where the cabin is. There is a place of rest and peace here in this life. Jesus gave us His peace. And if you're being robbed of that, don't allow that to happen. You're going to have to fight some battles to get to that city of peace. There was folks that wanted to stay on that side of the Jordan. And you know what Joshua told him? He said, brother, I'll tell you what. You can stay over here, but you're going to go fight with us and then you can come back. We're in this together. I said, we're in this together. We are. We have to fight our fights and help one another. But before you can ever help me, I must let you. Now, when Debbie done that little Sunday school thing a couple of weeks back about Jericho and the walls, and that's when it really just ignited in me, the walls are the things that made Jericho what Jericho was. But Jericho didn't start out that way. Jericho started out, let me give you just a little bit of history. Jericho wasn't nothing but just a camping place before you got to the goods. It was just a place to stop for a minute. Only some people got the idea that, well, if I can stop and camp here for a minute, I'll go there someday. But they never went there someday. And when they would get attacked by the enemy, they would get all of their goods would be plundered away. So they thought, we'll build some walls for protection. And I think most people who build walls, I mean, when we build walls on our house, what's it for? for protection from the things that are outside. And we start to build our walls, and they fortified them and made them stronger and stronger. And don't you believe that when Joshua was standing there and he says, there's my Jerusalem, but this and this is in between me and them. And Joshua goes back to says, but the Lord said in Joshua 4, from the wilderness. Now wait a minute. Every place I give you, every place the soul in Deuteronomy, I think it's 11:24 says, that the sole of your foot touches, I give to you. From the wilderness. Now wait a minute. You mean God give me my wilderness times? I've been told all the time it's got to be the devil that keeps me in the wilderness. But God put Israel in the wilderness for a reason. There was some unbelief that had to be gotten out. There was some sin that had to be gotten out. You go through your wilderness, and it's not, I'll say most of the time, it's not a sign of Satan. It's a sign by God. God has put His stamp of approval, send you into the wilderness so that you can be perfected. And when all of the unbelief is gone, then you start to walk towards your promised land. You don't get your promised land. You start to walk towards your promised land. You got to go across Jordan. Jordan means descending, going down. You got to get down. There's things you can't stay. Look, I know we all want to stay up on top of the mountaintop, and that's grand and that's great, but every mountain that I see is either covered with rocks or covered with snow. There's nothing to eat up there. There's no cool streams up there. We need some songs about coming off the mountain and going through the valley, is what the psalm said. We have to have confidence that even when we go through our down times, that God is taking us through them. Sometimes it seems like an eternity. Sometimes it seems like a lifetime. It really does. I know, I've been there. But you have to have that same faith that as you are willing to step out and head towards your promised land, God said He would give it to you. I long for the day when God's people will get it in their mind. God said it. That settles it. That's it with me. It's a promise. It's mine. I may have to do some battling to obtain it, but I'm not just going to lay over and play dead. No more. So I got to thinking about them walls of Jericho, and as they built them for protection, it kept everything from happening to them. And we got some people that are going to help us today. She done volunteered. Debbie. I need you to come right over here. Debbie is in Jericho. We're going to build some walls around Debbie for protection. And our first wall is this one here. So we put our wall up here. And the thing we're going to pretend here, I started to write this on here, but there's too many Kleenexes in here. This is her mortar, because we've got to have mortar to build a wall, right? And I was going to write pride right here. Because as we build our walls, that's what keeps us from tearing the walls down, is our pride. So the first wall that we put up, and the first thing that the Lord brought to my mind, is I just ain't going to talk about it. I don't care what the problem is, I ain't going to mention it. As I said a while ago, it'll just go away. I just ignore it. You want to talk about it? Well, guess what? I don't. Now, in our relationship, if that's how we solve things, if you say, well, and you know, when you're solving something, it is when you find some middle ground in between the two. And everything can't always be my way. That's domination. We need a compromise. And we have to find that compromise when I realize that she has an opinion also. But if I crush her opinion, that's domination, not compromise. So now I've got to deal with this. She don't want to talk about it. Guess what? I do want to talk about it. You think you're just going to say that and go, well, no, we don't fight like that. But I mean, we need, so we're just going to get like that, and we're going to go off, and you're going to go into the kitchen and slam the dishes around, and I'll go out in the garage or go in the living room and sit down, and we'll sit there. And she's slamming this, making sure you can hear it, because ain't no sense being mad if nobody hear it. Right? So I'll fix her. I'll turn the TV up louder. I know she'll hear that. And we go through our minds the whole entire argument, building a wall between us, never settling, when the Bible declares unto us that when you come before the altar to bring your gift, that's your praise and worship, and you remember you have an ought with your brother. She is my sister in Christ. More than she is my wife, she is in the family of God. It says, go and be reconciled. God says, my gift ain't even no good to him if I can't get along with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But buddy, she's going to know I'm a man. And I'll shut her out. Anybody ever shut somebody out in your life? I just won't talk to them anymore. I'll show them. I'll treat her. She'll get me something, fine. She come in and say, I'm sorry, fine. I'm sorry. Okay. We'll leave it at that. So the first wall we put up, we just ain't going to talk about it. Because that'll protect me. That'll keep me from having to deal with my issue if I don't talk about it. Because if I talk about it, I don't know where she's going to go with the conversation, brother. It might even put me in a position that I don't want to be in. And Lord, what if she starts crying? I can't deal with that. We'll just fix it. Fine, we won't do nothing. Is that the answer? No. But when you solve something, when we solve something between me and you, Rick, a bond, listen, a bond of love goes stronger, and I have confidence in him that I'm able to have a relationship with him. Now, without getting too deep, how many of you know? I can discuss anything, but I better not go there. That's the button. Don't push it. Let me tell you what. We don't need to have buttons in our relationship that we can't push. You ought to be able to come to me. You ought to be able to come to me and discuss anything. Because if she can't discuss anything with me, or you can't discuss anything with me, or you can't, then that's fear. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear. If there's fear in the relationship, there's something wrong. I'm giving folks this morning, that if you don't have the walls up, or you've just got one wall up, don't put the other three up. And if they're up, you need to get them down. You need to change. The Lord is perfecting His people. Well, then what's the next thing we do? I'll just distance myself from her. I won't get around her or him. Rick come in that door. I'll stay down here. He come down here. I'll go over there. I'll just distance myself. And then that way he can't. You can't make it right, brother, if I stay away from you. If I dodge you all the time. Right? So my next thing is I'm going to distance myself. And in order for our wall to stand up, because I really wanted to get some cardboard, but I couldn't. For our walls to stand up, they're going to have to be what in the corner? Got to be attached. That's where we get this out. Get our pride out, and we're going to paint that corner real good so they'll stand up and make it strong. And sometimes we'll make a wall this thick, and sometimes we'll make a wall this thick. So we got our wall standing up, and I ain't going to talk about it, and you ain't going to get around me, right? That's the best way to handle it. Even though I know what the Scripture says, I know what I need to do. Getting comfortable in there, ain't it? Because now, in this, only thing she got to worry about is anybody getting to her is this way. It's a lot easier to walk this way than to have to do this all the time, because you get dizzy and fall over, won't you? I wasn't going to have you do that. I thought about it, but I'm not going to. Yeah, no spinning. So all she got to do is just watch that side. And then, in not talking about it, and distancing herself from everybody, then something else happens. The next wall goes up. pride plasters that one there up real good. And the next thing she has to deal with now, I'll protect my emotions. Because nobody can get to me emotionally if I just keep my wall up and you say, how are you doing, Terry? I said, fine. Joan, did I offend you in something? No. Denzel, you know how he acts. Now, I've asked some people. Joshua, if you'd stand up. Vicky, stand up. Didn't ask you, but you're going to anyway. Stand up, Robbie. Rick, stand up. Tony, stand up. Marilyn, stand up. Now, who here can tell me what Josh is thinking? Who here can tell me what Vicky's thinking? Or Robbie? I mean, look at them. Seriously, look at them. Make eye contact. Tell me what they're thinking. Can anybody do that? Can anybody do that? I need to see a hand before we can move on. If somebody can, we need to see you now. Because it's taking Messi a whole different direction then. So it's apparent that out of just these few, now look at the people next to you. Make eye contact with them. Look at them. Can you tell what they're thinking? No, not sometimes. Can you tell? Y'all can be seated. So if we can't tell what, if I cannot tell what Jimmy is thinking, then why would I sit there and say, oh, that look on his face. I know what he's thinking. Did you see that look on Rick's face? I know what he's thinking. Everybody just agreed in here. You cannot look at somebody and tell what they're thinking. Then why do you do that? Put the wall up. Because Rick don't like me, therefore he's not going to talk to me. And we're not going to be able to solve this. So I just, now it's easy because now all she's got to do is just watch right there. Right? Got it covered. Can't nobody get in. So, inevitably, somebody will come along and make an invite for Debbie to come out. And then comes our fourth wall. And we patch it up real good with our pride because I ain't changing. I know I need to. I know I want to, but I ain't going to. Because then I got to, if I come out, I got to deal. Look at that. You got to deal with that. Look at that. You come out, you got to deal with that. And then you're going to have to deal with that. And then probably that. And you'll have to deal with that. Because look, you know that won't let nothing alone. And then you got to deal with that. And you got to deal with that. And you got to deal with them too. And him. And you got to deal with him. Meanness.
I'll stay right here.
Motors. And you, it's just better. I'll stay right here. So when I say, hey, Debbie, you want to come over because we're going to have some fellowship? Then we lie. I can't. Oop. We're having this at church. I can't. I got something else planned. I got to go somewhere. Well, how about we just sit down, Cheryl, and let's talk about this. Now's not a good time to talk about it. I got to do laundry. Lie. Christian people, straight up, and I don't know, I tell it just the way my grandmother used to say it. Bald-faced lie. That's an old one, ain't it, Joan? Just straight up, no, we're lying. But because we don't want to deal with our uncomfortableness, we'll lie. Shut people out, distance ourselves, and not say nothing about it. Now, the thing about Jericho is it had a gate. And when Debbie felt like it, she could just come right out. And she could socialize with Rick because she's comfortable with Rick. And she could turn around and she could go right back in because here comes Cheryl wanting to know what's wrong, Debbie. And Debbie say, I'm comfortable again. And it's good to keep people out. But you know what happened in the cities? It says, and the city was shut up and fortified. and none came out, and none went in. And that's fine when you're dealing with people. You can live like this through life and be somewhat miserable. But lo and behold, sooner or later, the enemy's going to come. And then the enemy comes, Sarah, and you know what he does? He shuts off your food, the bread of life, your water, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And he says, sooner or later, she's got to come out. And if she don't, she'll stay in there and starve to death. I win either way. But there was somebody on the inside of Jericho who knew the walls was coming down. There was somebody who lived through all of the wreckage because she believed in God. You got to deal with your Jericho. You got to deal with the walls that are around you. And it take, Debbie had them up here stepping, marching. And I know I've said this a dozen times, but we'll make it a dozen and one. She said, I don't care if you get tired, don't stop. She said, I don't care if you get tired, don't stop. The problem is, if Debbie marches, she might not have to lie. Whose is the green one? Jones? Well, wait a minute. Joan just took a burden away from you. She got her nerve taking my wall away. And I might have to share my emotions. With the walls down, I can see light. And somebody else carried the emotion. And if somebody would just hang out with me and make me laugh, I wouldn't have to distance myself from everybody. And you know what? The only thing that you have to deal with is just talking. Just talking. It's funny how that worked out to be your last one. I didn't plan that, folks. So now all you got to do is talk. And if you don't have no walls, you don't need your pride to protect you. So you deal with Jericho, get it out of the way, and you have freedom. But who delivered such a one as this? Every single instance that the people in the Bible were delivered, they were delivered of their own people. At no time did a stranger come into town and say, I'm here to deliver you. From the beginning all the way up to Jesus, Jesus was among his brethren. You can be seated, sis. He was among his brethren. That's why a lot of people have a hard time getting completely free in their spirit is because they would rather have a stranger come in and tell them something than one of the brethren. I would rather deal with the stranger because he don't know nothing about my walls, but you do. How many people in here knows somebody else in here, more than one? How many people in here knows somebody's personality? We know how to deal with that. And I can come in, and if something's wrong, Rick's did it before, he said, something wrong, brother? That is an opportunity. If somebody's asking you, and then we step back, that's what confuses me. We step back and say, nobody cares. But when somebody asks us, we don't let them care. And we go back to, going to talk about it. First wall. When the first one goes up, you drive by and you see them building a house. When the first wall goes up, what do you expect to see when you come back by again? Did you know they're going to go up? When you build that first one, if you don't stop building, the other one will come up right behind it. Nobody just jumps in and shuts himself out from everybody. It's a progression. Now, you get Jericho out of the way, and the next thing you know you got to deal with is AI. Now, something happens at AI. That's the one battle that you go into, and you give everything to God, and you'll win, right? Unless you keep back a part of it and hide it in your tent floor. I'll give everything to God but this. I don't want to give this to God because I don't want to. I'll give you my entertainment. I'll give you my music. But I'm not going to give you my relationship because I know how to work it. Wasn't there something out about that? Work it if you know how to work it, or work it if you got it, or something. I know how to work that. I'll stand in that right there. Because you, God, I know what you're going to do. If God comes up into our relationship, let me tell you what he's going to do, Nick. First thing he's going to do is he's going to jump out and he's going to say, well, let me tell you what Cheryl needs to change this, Cheryl needs to change this, Cheryl needs to change this, and Cheryl needs to change that. That's what God does whenever you give him a relationship. When you give God a relationship, first thing he deals with is me. And he said, you ought to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to act like this. Yeah, but what about Cheryl, God? She's in the relationship too. When are we going to quit being selfish little kids and let God mature in us what the reality of life is and give him everything? Just give it to him. Allow him to come in and work in you that good thing which he has. Because on the other side of you giving everything to God from AI and you winning that battle, you move in. And if you'll read on into Joshua, I believe it's 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. If you'll go on to read, after those two battles, every king in every defense city got a hold of Joshua and said, hey, wait a minute. I know how you done them other battles. I know how you overcome them. I just want to make peace with you. Goes over here, he says, I know what happened, King Ray. I just want to make peace with you. And you'll find out a lot of your situations and a lot of your problems won't be so big, and they'll start to just make peace with you. It don't mean that they'll go away. The cities didn't dissolve and fall into the ground. It's not that Israel never had to deal with them again. Sure, you got junk in your life. I don't have to mic your home, brother. I don't have to sneak in and get video camera. I know you got problems. Guess what? I got problems too. You're imperfect. Guess what? I'm imperfect too. And if we're both going to be imperfect and be in church together, sooner or later we're going to bump up against each other and we're going to have to say, excuse me, I'm sorry I did that. But no, I'm going to bump into you and go, Rick would learn how to walk, he wouldn't be knocking into everybody. I know that's silly, but that's the way we do. Who do you think you are looking at me like that? I know what you're thinking, Rick. No, we don't. Look, it's just the enemy. If he can bluff you in to running in a corner, what does... Me and Cheryl watch him, I'm sure y'all have seen him in movies where them lions get after them little gazelles. Do they just run into the middle of them and start trying? They sit like this. They didn't even have television back then, and Jesus and Paul and all of them knew. Peter. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking who? And you'll see them lionesses, they'll get down. And they're looking at grass and they'll watch one. And they'll go. And just sit there. And the one that gets out on the fringe, what happens? That's the one that gets taken. And I'm telling you, don't separate yourself. Don't distance yourself. Don't put up walls. Because you're then meat for the adversary, and he liked nothing better than to totally destroy you. If he can get you battling in your mind,
He can get you thinking it'll never work out. He gets you thinking, why are you doing this anyway, Kate? How do you even know this God thing is the truth? How do you know the Bible's real? Do you see the way Debbie looked at you?
Robbie didn't even make eye contact with me when he shook my hand.
Can all of that little stuff really go on?
We, everyone can say yes because we know it does.
It's a battle. But get the battles behind you and march into the peace and the promise that, look, I may come in bruised, cut, broken bones, and battered, but I refuse to lay down and let the enemy just run right over top of me. I've grabbed a hold of a few promises in the Word of God, and I'm holding them until I pass away, till God calls me home, till I'm done on earth, because I know what He said, I know what I have committed to Him, and I know He is able to keep what I have committed to Him. What He cannot keep is what I refuse to commit to Him. I am not going to just lay down and quit. For me, Joan, that is not an option. I refuse to. There's things happening in my life. And can I get a little personal? Automobiles are going to break down. Bills are going to stack up. Jobs are going to end. You'll walk into work one day and they might say, you don't have a job no more. We're closing down. 401ks will fall apart. My loved ones are going to die and go home, Robbie. Things are going to happen in my life, but I refuse to quit. Quitting is not an option for me. And if I'm going to stay into this, I don't care what kind of wall it is, I'll tear it down. If I have an insecurity, I'll go get it. I'll fight that thing because I know it's just like a dandelion. It's got a root about that long. Even though that much of it's sticking up out of the ground, I was cleaning out our landscaping the other day, and there's a little old tree come up like that. Eat my hand up. I didn't have no thorns on it, brother, but I wrapped my hand around it. I figured, you know, just yank it up, right? Grabbed a hold of that thing and give it a yank, and every limb come off of it, and that just burnt me up. I got my little hand trowel out, and I dug it out. This much of the tree was out of the ground, but it had roots about that long. And that's what my insecurities become. They become deep, deep rooted before you even start to see what's coming up. So as soon as I see it, I go get it. I'm going to battle that. Why? Because Jesus said, I can win. He said, I can do it. For lack of anything better, Jesus said, I can hug Vicky. I can hug Chelsea. I can kiss Rick on his forehead right here, just like it. Amen. Why? Because there's no way that Satan is going to bring me down. I'm not going to. I'm going to have a bad day, Denzel. Someday. But how bad it gets depends on how I respond to it. I can control it. If I'm insecure about whether Josh likes me or not, I'll come up and I'll say, brother, have I done something to offend you? Have I? So now it's gone. Because I've already established the fact. Oh, I know what he means by no. I know what he's thinking. No, I don't. And I want you to get that in your mind the next time that thing pops up. I know what Joan meant. No, you don't. And if you know what she meant, say, Joan, did you mean that? And probably 9 times out of 10, when you ask somebody that, what do they say? And do we let it alone? No. Yeah, you tell me no. I know what you meant. I know. I mean, you know you're in that battle when your hip falls out of joint and your neck gets out of socket. I know. And you're having this big argument with yourself and the walls are going up around you, and therefore you know it, there's a big thick wall between you and Joan over nothing. You will never be able to grow. It says, leave your gift at the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brother. Let not the sun go down on...
Can I share some personal stuff? When me and Cheryl first got married, we had some discussions that stayed up to 4:30. Discussion. Because we were just so dumb. The Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and we ain't going to bed until we get it solved. That's dumb, ain't it? I wouldn't trade my relationship with her for anything. We've learned and grown together because this has brought it together. Did I want to sit up and listen to her? Absolutely not. But I refuse to build that wall because this tells me, as a man of God and as a Christian brother to her. See, she gets to be my wife for a little while, but she'll be my sister for all eternity. I need to have that relationship with her. I need to have that relationship with you. Because how can I say that I love God if I don't love my brother? I believe John said, I am a what? A liar. Do you mean we got to just solve everything and I can't walk around with a chip on my shoulder about everything in life? Absolutely. Because with that comes peace. I remember shortly after I got saved, as God was getting all this out of me, Debbie, I was going down the road, going to work. I worked at Gaddy's Inn. I was going to work, and I panicked. I mean, Andrew, I hit full panic because I forgot what I was supposed to worry about, Brian. I said, what was I worrying about? I couldn't remember what to worry about, so I had to make me up something to worry about. And Jesus says, follow your cares on me because I care for you. I guess that's it. So, God's in the business. He's got a wrecking ball called Jesus that'll knock down even the littlest foundation of walls that's been built. And I guess we're going to get a song here. And I don't know if you need to pray or not. It's up to you. But if there are some things you want to get taken care of, the Lord will meet you here and He'll take care of them. He'll fix it up for you. Look, I'm telling you, He'll set you free. As I told him in Sunday school, it's too late for me. I done know the truth. It's not comfortable. It pokes. It pinches. We want God to bless everything, but do we want to give Him everything? Because He might draw back something that I don't want drawn back. He might put me in a position I don't want to be in. I mean, Tammy, what if He makes me talk to Ray? What if I have to expose myself to Cheryl? What if I have to lay down my old ways and change a little bit? The altar's open.